This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, just delighted and happy to be with you, as I am Monday through Friday at this same time on this same station as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. We love when you call us here. We certainly do. I love to know that you are with us. And if you're a first-time caller or a first-time submitter, we certainly do invite you to let us know that so that I can ring our happy little welcome bell for you. I've got three of them sitting here. It's a question of getting your hand on one to ring it when you want it, and there it is. And we want to ring it for you when you call in for your premiere showing right here on EWTN Radio. So we invite you to give us a call. Always, always eager to hear from you through our email, womenofgrace@ewtn.com, womenofgrace@ewtn.com. That's another way that you can communicate with us. And if you want to communicate with us today live, but you can't call in, do go out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. You can use the chat feature there to get your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement up on the board. We have Matt Gabinski on the phones today. Be sure to give him a howdy hey when you call in to 833-288-EWTN, our toll-free number for you here in North America. And also, we've got Jeff Burson, who is our social media manager and our producer. He'll dash on out there and he'll retrieve your question through social media. So we invite you to be sure to leave that question there in the chat feature. All of those great opportunities. I want to tell you about another great opportunity. I'm so excited. It's coming up really soon. Not this weekend, but next weekend. We are going to be in Hollywood, Florida. We are looking forward to it. We are going to be at Nativity Catholic Church there in Hollywood, Florida. It is going to be a beautiful opportunity for us to come together as the daughters of the Most High God and see what God has in mind for us and all of the blessings that He desires we receive there. It's going to begin with a Benedicta Enrichment Seminar. It is Leading Like the Lady, the Authentic Authority and Power of Woman. That is what we're going to be talking about in this Benedicta Enrichment Seminar. And I got to tell you, I've been putting some finishing touches to that seminar, coming up with very specific areas that we're going to be discussing, and it's going to be exciting. I just wanted to share with you a little bit about it. If you haven't signed up, I want you to know that all of the information is available for you out there at our website, womenofgrace.com. You're going to see it listed there for October 21st and October 23rd underneath our upcoming events. Those are hyperlinks. Click on them. It'll take you to a landing page that's going to give you the schedule, but in addition to that, it is also going to give you an opportunity to register. But just listen to some of these and see if this doesn't, you know, really kind of whet your appetite to join us there. The Authority and Power of Woman is going to be one of the sections of talking that we're going to be doing there. It's a talk that I'm going to be giving. And then we have Paco Gavrilides, who is going to be with us, and he's going to be talking about the authority and power as we see it in sacred scripture. Another beautiful, beautiful talk that he's going to be giving. The Battle for Women is another area of discussion that we will be having. Woman Called to be the New Eve is another area of discussion. We're going to be talking about women of the Bible, the use and misuse of women's authority. That's going to be fascinating. I cannot wait to hear that myself. I'm looking forward to it. We're also going to be talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, a Marian perspective, and we'll be talking about a beautiful, beautiful other topic called to mission, the Marian vision. And so, you know, it's just going to be fantastic. It's going to be 2 days of fantastic talks, fantastic discussions, opportunity for Mass, opportunity for us to break bread together at the meals. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful way for us to spend those hours together, October 21st and 23rd, for our Benedicta Enrichment Seminar in Hollywood, Florida. We want you to check it out online there at womenofgrace.com. Also want for you to check out what we're going to be doing on October 23rd. It's going to be a Women of Grace one-day conference in Hollywood, Florida, right there again at Nativity Catholic Church. Faith, Fortitude, and Femininity, a formula for such a time as this. faith, fortitude, and femininity, a formula for such a time as this. We at Women of Grace really believe that woman is God's secret weapon for this 21st century. We're going to be finding out how we can be those women, imbued by the power of the Holy Spirit, many Marys, icons of our Blessed Lady, bringing about all that God desires we do through our feminine genius, active in our day and time. Faith, fortitude, and femininity, a formula for such a time as this, October 23rd, right there at Nativity Catholic Church in Hollywood, Florida. Concurrent to that particular women's gathering is a gathering for young women of grace right there at Nativity Catholic Church. They'll be gathering also on October 23rd. The Young Women of Grace retreat is made for Joy, my mother, her powerful prayer, and me. They're going to be learning about Our Blessed Lady. They're going to be learning about the rosary. There's a craft that's involved with this. They're going to be learning about themselves and who they're called to be as young women of grace. So I want to tell you, this is going to be a bonanza time right there at Nativity Catholic Church in Hollywood, Florida, beginning with the Benedicta Enrichment Seminar on October 21st and 23rd, followed by the Women of Grace one-day conference, Faith, Fortitude, and Femininity, a formula for such a time as this, and also concurrent to that, the Young Women of Grace retreat that's going to be taking place, made for Joy, my mother, her powerful prayer, and me. All of that available for you through registration. So get out there to our website, womenofgrace.com. Register there. If you have any questions, just give us a call. We'll be happy to talk with you about it. You know, if you're anywhere in the state of Florida, I'm saying come on over or come on down or just drive across the city there and be with us on the east coast of Florida. Looking forward to it. It's going to be beautiful. I've been working on this for a long time and just very, very eager to be with all of you beautiful ladies there. So please do come. Don't delay. Bring your daughters with you, your nieces with you, bring your granddaughters with you, bring your neighborhood girls with you, bring your daughter's best friends with her, bring your best friends, get your lady friends together, and join us for this beautiful, beautiful time together. The Benedicta Enrichment Seminar has its own registration area, as well as its own fee, as does the one-day conference. Come for both of them. I'd love you to be at both of them. Come for one of them or the other of them. But by all means, do come for and join us there at Nativity Catholic Church, October 21st through the 23rd. And as I say, bring your young women of grace with you. They're going to love it. They're going to meet other lovely young ladies. What a beautiful thing. Great opportunity in the Lord. Well, you know, we are excited because today is Wednesday. It means it's Wacky Wednesday. We have Sue Brinkman with us. We're going to be talking about wacky things. I always invite you to visit her New Age blog at our website, newage.womenofgrace.com, newage.womenofgrace.com. We've got just a resource there that is like no other. Over 1,000 questions and answers on the New Age archive. They're articles, really, where Sue's taking questions through the years, and she answers them in blog form. So we want you to use that resource. It's a great, great way for you to find out more. It features a search option there. You can put a particular topic in there, and all of the articles written about it will pop up. But we've got her in the house today for this Wacky Wednesday. We're inviting you to give us a call. Toll free for you right here in North America. The number is 833-288-EWTN. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel, Facebook page, also available for you there. Use the chat feature. If you're outside of North America, country code 1-205-271-2985. Let us know if you're a first-time caller, and we're going to ring our welcome bell for you for your premiere or your debut right here on Women of Grace Live. Coming right back, stay with us. Welcome back, friends. It's great to have you with us today. That is our new music for Wacky Wednesday. I don't know if you were with us last week when we were making those sounds. And apparently our voice just did not cut the mustard. So our production team went out there and got us some music. Oh, my goodness. Well, welcome to Women of Grace. If you're just joining us, it is a Wacky Wednesday. We've got Sue Brinkman with us. We like to set this day aside to talk about New Age kinds of things, the occult, what it is that we need to be aware of, why this is not compatible with the revealed real truth of sacred scripture and the teachings of the church, I have to say hats off to you, Jeff. Hey, I'm going to ring my bell just to congratulate you for that music. Thank you very much for it. We're inviting you to give us a call here with your questions, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we love to have holy conversation with you. Today, we're talking about New Age things, so make sure that your questions are oriented in that direction. Matt Gabinski is on the phone, and if you're a first-time caller, we'll ring that first-time caller bell for you if you let us know. We're also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply use the chat feature there to get your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement up. If you're a first-time submitter, let us know that, and we will once again ring that bell for you, too. We certainly will. Looking forward to hearing from you. If you're outside of North America, here is a number for you. It's country code 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. Well, Sue Brinkman, how are you?
I'm fine today. We're sounding wacky. I think we're off to a wacky start. I love that music. I love it.
Yeah, it's terrific. One thing that is not wacky about today is that it's October 13th, and we remember that this was the last time our Blessed Mother appeared to the children in Fatima. So it's always a special day, even though it's not, a centenary year. We always mark these days because it reminds us that heaven is always with us.
That's right. And it's just the miracle of the sun. I never tire of reading about it, all the different eyewitness accounts, because we do have that. There's a lot of record about it because that incident was actually seen for miles around. It wasn't just there at Fatima. And a lot of people, in fact, I think one of the reporters that reported on it eventually was converted by what he saw in the sky that day. I just think it's phenomenal. It was a great gift and grace from God. Through the hand of Our Lady, that this was given to us here on earth to say, hey, guess what? I'm for real. And I can make things happen that will really kind of blow your mind. Because that's really what happened that day. People were falling to their knees. They were crying. They thought they were going to die when the sun just started spinning toward them. And I just think it's just great. Sometimes I wonder, would you do that again? Could you just do it again? You know, so we could all see this, you know.
Well, one of the beautiful things about our Lord when he sends our Blessed Mother, you know, she's always telling us things that are directly in line with sacred scripture and directly in line with the teachings of the church. And that's one way that we can begin to determine the authenticity of something versus that which is not authentic. And, you know, we have to be very careful about these things because there are a lot of ways in which the evil one will imitate or counterfeit that which God gives us. And while he cannot, only God can do miracles because that's above nature, the evil one will use nature in some way to try to counterfeit a true miracle. So we've got to be careful about that. And, you know, I just want to jump off. We usually have a discussion here, but because we're talking about our Blessed Mother, we've got Marie with us from Texas, and she has a question about Our Lady. So I think we'll take this, Sue, and then we'll get into our topic of the day. How are you doing, Marie?
Good morning. I'm fine. How are you?
Good. Thank you for calling.
Okay, my question is, I recently read on a Christian website, it was not a Catholic website, I usually just stick to my Catholic faith, but I happen to be reading on a Christian website, and they recommended a book that was called The People of the Lie, and I believe it's by a person with a doctorate, I think his name is Dr. Scott Peck, and the book is dealing with how people manifest evil. And I believe he was writing it from a Christian perspective, perhaps from a Protestant perspective. And what threw me off about the book was, I believe it was in the introductory part of the book, it made a reference to the Virgin Mary. And he was talking, he sort of said something that, like, people sometimes even are manifesting like a sexualized idea of the Blessed Mother. And as soon as I read that, I just put the book down because I was like, well, I don't understand, you know, I don't know what he was getting at, you know, and it threw me off that it was at the very beginning of the book. And so I did not read any further. And I was wondering if you were familiar with the book and if it, if you thought that it was, shouldn't be read, you know, as a Catholic. I don't know because I didn't read any further. I don't know if he was coming at it from a psychological perspective that people, you know, have a misunderstanding of how to, you know, they're conceptualizing the Blessed Mother incorrectly. So mm-hmm. I was wondering if you could speak to me about that.
Well, Sue, go for it, and then I'll chime in here.
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, he's a Protestant, so he doesn't have a Catholic view of Our Lady. But he's got kind of a long story to him, and I'm looking at a blog right now that's on the Christian Research Institute website on Scott Peck, and why he's so popular, his influence among Christians, and it kind of his controversial conversion story that I think is something that you might want to read and look into. It's a kind of a long, drawn-out article here, but you just have to be careful with him and with his writings. And as I think you found out when you read in the very beginning about Our Lady, I think that was probably the Lord telling, you know what, put that aside. You don't need Protestant writings on the faith. What we need really is to read Catholic stuff. We have plenty of good Catholic authors out there. We don't really need Scott Peck. And especially we don't need to have Our Lady in any way denigrated in a book. I wouldn't go any further in the book, just like what you did. I wouldn't go any further in the book after reading something like that. That would have turned me off completely.
Yeah. Well, he was an American psychiatrist, and he's now deceased. He died at the age of 69 in 2005. And he has an interesting background with regard to religion, too. He was baptized a Christian, not a Catholic, but he was baptized a Christian. And he kind of moved away from that and began to travel in other kinds of more esoteric religions, such as Sufism. That's one that he ended up in, Buddhism. And he ultimately came back to his Christian faith. But I always am a little concerned about when we take that which is truly religious and we try to read into that a psychiatric perspective or a psychology of man into it, you know, because I think that we can find ourselves in dangerous waters there. For example, the same would hold true with other psychiatrists that have tried to do the same kind of a thing. Carl Jung is an example, although Jung was heavily influenced by the occult. But again, they'll weave that mindset into the practice of their education, into the science, for example, of psychology. And I think that's dangerous. And that we don't, when you consider, Marie, that we've got so many fantastic literary opportunities through the lives of the saints, their own writings or good biographies of them, the good teaching that's coming to us in contemporary times through some of the great thinkers in our church today. It just seems to me our time is better spent. So I'm glad that you just kind of closed the cover on that book and said, okay, I don't think so, and walked away from that. It's not going to take you to the depths that you want to go. It just can't, because it doesn't have the fullness of truth in it or behind it. So thanks for your call today. I really do appreciate it. And you know, this is one of the dangers that we have today, Sue, is because that, you know, we find all of these things mixed together. If you go into the religion section of a bookstore, for example, you're going to find New Age fare mixed in with, you know, the Bible, for example. You're going to find, if you go to like the New Age section, you're going to find good Christian literature mixed in with that. So there's everything today is looked at through the lens that nothing is really different. Everything is really the same. We even see that following through in other ways, such as with transgenderism. You know, everything's really the same. We want sameness now. We don't want any differentiation. And so we can run into trouble. And that has crossed into the health field. And that's where we want to kind of go in our program today. We want to talk about some of these issues that keep coming up to us. And one of those issues that we get asked routinely about, it has to do with these alternative therapies and acupuncture in particular. So talk with us a little bit about these alternative therapies, and let's just kind of shine a little spotlight on acupuncture for a moment.
Yeah, acupuncture, we just recently had a question from someone who's saying that you know, she's getting a lot of relief from back pain and depression through acupuncture. And she said, I researched a little bit about this, and they're saying that acupuncture might work. But from a spiritual perspective, is it dangerous as practices such as Reiki, or is there some gray area? Now, there's a lot of gray area with acupuncture. Acupuncture, first of all, and for those who don't really know what it is, it's the belief that a universal life force known as qi runs through the body through 14 channels called meridians. And practitioners believe that sickness can be caused by blockages in the flow of qi or imbalances in the imposing energies known as yin and yang. And in order to cure illness and other maladies, a needle or pressure, as in the case of acupressure, is applied to any one of these hundred of points in the body that are known as acupoints, that are positioned along those meridians. And that supposedly corresponds to different organs and body systems. So even though it has a huge following around the world, the National Institute of Health and the World Health Organization have both approved them, acupuncture, even though they have both of those organizations have been heavily criticized for bias and also for reliance on poorly designed studies. Because when you look at take a serious look at the studies that were done in acupuncture, and this was done by the Oxford-based Cochrane Collaboration, that has like a global network of 10,000 health experts and massive database of medical research and studies and clinical trials on just about anything you can think of. It's called the Cochrane Collaboration. And they found no evidence, after a systematic review now of everything that's out there on it, they found no evidence that acupuncture works for anything except some types of pain and nausea. And even those are not considered to be very strong conclusions scientifically. And the problem is that with acupuncture, it's hard to come up with a sham so that you can conduct, you know, blind and double blind tests. And a sham meaning a phony, so that people don't know whether they're getting the phony or they're already getting the real thing. And then that's how you can tell, is this really working or isn't it working?
It's not like a pill that can be a placebo.
Right. So it's hard. But Edzard Ernst, who was the, he led the complementary medicine research group at the University of Exeter, long history of interest in acupuncture, has written books about it. He doesn't have a whole lot of bias about it. He just comes right out and tells you, you know, what he thinks about it. And he did come up with one. And it was a gadget, a telescopic needle that only appears to prick the skin. It really doesn't, but it makes you get a sensation as if it was pricking the skin. So it fooled people. It could fool you. And so they used that. After they tested it very extensively, then they began to use that in studies. And guess what? No convincing evidence
from
the control group and the group that got the acupuncture that it worked. There was nothing. And German researchers also came up with something that they're using now, and they're testing it and testing it and testing it, and it's just not. And in fact, maybe 2 years ago now, I think this was, and I believe we even did a show about it, Jeanette, there was a recent study found that acupuncturists don't even agree on where the acupoints are located on the body. They all say something different, which was just ruinous to acupuncture when that study came out. It's like, what? How could that there not be any uniformity to this? Mm-hmm. How could you say that this acupressure point that supposedly controls the liver is over here by your index finger on your right hand, and the other guy is saying, oh no, it's by your pinky on your left hand? I mean, how? Anyway, it didn't help acupuncture. It didn't help.
No.
And it shouldn't be. And there's also a lot of spiritual dangers in that too.
Yeah.
Very serious spiritual dangers in it, because, you know, they believe in Oriental medicine that there's no separation between mind, body, and spirit. It's all one. You know, we believe, of course, that there is a separation. The soul goes on, you know, to live eternal life. We don't believe that. That's not a Christian belief. And they believe that the spiritual dimension is intrinsic to the practice of acupuncture, because they believe that the spirit is the motive force of the organism, meaning you, that has to be reached first in order to initiate any kind of healing. And the needle is just an instrument of containing the spirit, because, you know, needles inserted into specific points are meant to control the body down to the cellular level, what we might think of as innate wisdom or the soul of the body. So it's very spiritual, acupuncture is. And I actually knew an acupuncturist who said that they used it for to do what we would call exorcisms in our faith. So yeah, there's a lot about acupuncture that tells me, you know what, you really don't need it, and there's plenty of alternatives to it. You don't need acupuncture.
Well, I think, you know, what the church teaches is that the human person is a composite of body and soul. And it's the totality of that, that makes up the human person. At death, then, you know, there is this rupture, which God never intended. And the soul goes on to its particular judgment and eternity, whether that's lived in heaven or hell or held in purgatory for a while for purification. But the body degenerates in the grave, right? It decomposes. And when Jesus comes again, though, the body and the soul will be reunited. And I think the difference between that concept and what you're describing here with regard to acupuncture is that they don't necessarily see this as a composite unit. They assign a value to, they don't see the soul in the same way as we, our Christian perspective. As you're saying, this soul is sort of like a receptacle of all of this ancient esoteric wisdom and knowledge that needs to some way be stimulated so that we can come to enlightenment and see that we are our own God. And so acupuncture is a means of that, from what I hear you saying. But then there's also other means, like, and we'll, you know, like it's exciting the chakra that don't exist up the spine, right? You know, so that this esoteric wisdom and knowledge is released within us and we come to see that we are God. So it's a very different concept of this whole thing, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's something, like I said, it's intrinsic to the practice of acupuncture.
That's right. You can't separate that out.
Right. Right.
Which is the same thing like with yoga and other things that we talk about here. Well, more to come on the other side of the break. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way you can contact us. Sue Brinkman with us today. Wacky Wednesday. Stay tuned.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Today is Wednesday. It's a Wacky Wednesday. We have Sue Brinkman in the house with us. We're very happy that she's with us. We're talking about all things New Age today, or all things occult, or all things having to do with Eastern Oriental mysticism and all kinds of alternative health practices. That's what we do on these Wednesdays. We invite you to call us. Here's a toll-free number for you if you're in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Matt Gabinski is on the phones today. We invite you to pick up your phone and give us a call. Be sure to give Matt a big old howdy hey. He's going to get your question up on the board and we're going to address it. We're also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. If you go on out there, you're going to see the chat feature. That's where you put your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. And our producer, Jeff Burson, lovely person, is going to rush out there. He's also our social media manager, and he will grab and retrieve your question and also put it up on the board, and we are looking forward to that question coming from you. Again, it's 833-288-3986. What generally happens is that the calls come in slowly. They're coming in really nicely now, and then at the end of the program, we've got full lines, and we can't get to them all. So right now, we've got some lines available for you. We want you to use them. 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. So just pick up the phone and give us a call. You know, Sue, we've got some calls coming in. I'm going to ask you to hold for one moment, Ann. We want to kind of finish up our topic here and then go for all of the questions coming in. So, Sue, you know, we were talking about acupuncture. And so a lot of people, like the woman that contacted you, said, yeah, but it really works. So how do we, what do we attribute that really working to?
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the meridians. Science already knows that. It has known that for a long time. You can prick your finger or prick your body really anywhere with a needle, and it's going to release pain-suppressing endorphins and other chemicals in the body that make you feel better. So that's really where that's coming from. It has nothing to do with these meridian points and the pricking of your finger at these different and your body in these different points that they claim it correlates to a certain organ. There's no proof that that's even true. But the reason why people will get some sort of benefit from it is because of the chemical reactions to pricking yourself with a needle. That's really why you're feeling something. Like I said, it has nothing to do with these Oriental beliefs and traditional Chinese medicine. It has nothing to do with that. It's a purely scientific reason why that happens, why you feel better from it.
So it's not curative. It's not taking care of the problem, the underlying problem, which is why we need to be careful when we start to put our faith in these alternative therapies that have no real science underneath them. A lot of anecdotal comments about them, but no real science under them. It should be repeatable. You know, scientific method has held up for all of these years. This is why we have good medicine. We might not like the way in which good medicine is always administrated, but if it's good medicine, it's good medicine because it's been proven to work and it's upheld by the scientific method.
That's right. That's right. And you know what? There's a lot of very, very proven, well-established alternatives to acupuncture. Mm-hmm. You know, you have PENS, P-E-N-S, which is percutaneous electrical nerve stimulation. And that actually does use a needle. Very minimally invasive, thin needles. They're connected to a battery-powered electrical stimulator, and they deliver these painless bursts of electrical stimulation near the nerves and into the skin tissues or muscles. It's not uncomfortable. It only lasts for about 20 to 30 minutes. There's some follow-up treatments that required about it, but it's really good. It's supposedly a very effective treatment for dizziness and vertigo. TENS, that's another one. That stands for transcutaneous electrical nerve stimulation. That's another thing where they're using electrical energy from an external stimulator that it directs the electrodes, it directs the charge to the body through electrodes, and that travels along the nerve fibers in the affected area. There's different things out there. You don't have to get into all this phony stuff about meridians and chi and yin yang and all that. You don't have to get into all that because there's options that, of course, are going to work much better because there's at least now some regulation as far as where they're pricking the skin. Not like acupuncturists who are going to, they're all over the map. You know, if you have a back issue, you use PENS or you use TENS or something like that in there, and they're going to go directly to that site and directly to where you need the help. Rather, with an acupuncturist, you're kind of dancing around, you know, floating around these different meridian points, which I said they don't all agree on where the acupoints are.
And they don't exist.
And they don't exist in the first. You're right. You're right. So why not just go right to the source of your pain and use something that's established and that we know works?
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, let's take some calls here. We've got Anne. She's with us from Buffalo, New York today. She's been holding for a little while. Anne, welcome. We're happy to have you with us.
Hi. Thanks for having me. Excuse the laryngitis.
Oh, I'm sorry you have laryngitis today. Oh, dear. Well,
it's okay.
We're happy it didn't hold you back from giving us a call today. So can you kind of croak out your question there?
Yeah. So.
Okay.
I just thought this was maybe an appropriate time to ask. You know, I'm curious on your perspective with Halloween coming up. I really enjoy the holiday. I like the scary movies within reason because I've shut many off because it seems like they're upping their game. But, you know, I like the decorations and, you know, and I was even thinking last year, we took our daughter trick-or-treating, and it was very windy, and the leaves were blowing, and I'm like, ooh, this is such an eerie feel. Like, I just loved it, and, you know, sat by the window when I got home. But, I mean, it's just, I don't know, I just seem to be into it, but, you know, I've heard that there is a pagan background to it, and I'm just curious on your perspective.
Okay, Sue?
It's not really pagan. That's just sort of a construct from the Reformation that we borrowed it from the pagan holidays. It actually isn't. We have a blog on our website on newage.womenofgrace.com on Halloween, and it explains the history of that. The best advice that I give to people who really want to get involved in Halloween is do not celebrate the occult. Do not celebrate death and dark things. And I was actually surprised last year that the children who were coming to my door, there were very few Harry Potters, very few zombies, very few of that type. They were like princesses and spacemen, you know, dressed in spacesuits and stuff like that. They want to do stuff like that. That's fine. But what Halloween, and like you mentioned, Halloween is becoming very dark. And it's getting into the celebrations of sorcerers and witches and all that kind of thing. And that's where I think we need to draw the line. No, don't go down that road. Don't dress your children up like that. And make sure that you tell your children why you're not doing it. Because those aren't funny things. They're not just little cartoon things. These are real. Witches are real. Sorcerers are real. And they are consorting with dark forces that they don't want to have anything to do with. And so dressing up as a witch in that is not appropriate, in my opinion. It's not appropriate at all. So I would stay away from that in Halloween. If you're going to celebrate it, I would stay away from anything occult or dark like death.
How do you feel about horror movies?
Horror movies.
Is it like Godzilla you're talking about, or, you know? Creature from the Black Lagoon going back a long time, or is it the kind of thing that's really in a certain sense glorifying the occult, glorifying, you know, ghosts, you know, casting a light upon them that it is better left uncast? So it depends.
Well, I don't like the, you know, spirit stuff. It's more of a, like, on Halloween, sometimes watch Halloween, but it's not, it's more the gore maybe, but I mean, it's just kind of, you know, I don't know sometimes where to draw the line. It's very hard.
What is it that appeals to you about that stuff?
I've always kind of been that way where I just thought it was always kind of a fun holiday, and I have no idea. I don't know.
I think that there is an element where it can be fun, but, you know, if it excites a curiosity in you that is going to lead you to want to explore more in these areas, then I think it's an unhealthy appetite that's beginning to be aroused, and I think it's a big red flag. If it's not exciting that, you know, you know, and you're keeping it within the parameters, I think, that Sue very well, you know, defined, then I think it's okay. The fact you're asking the question, however, indicates to me that you are a little concerned about it. So I would sit with the Lord and try to work out through prayer. Okay, so if this is okay, why am I unsettled about it? Because that unsettledness is a sign that something's amiss. So I would encourage you to introspect a little bit, with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and you know, see how that plays out for you. Okay.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's progressive. Like it's just something that's kind of. I'm not curious, but I get what you're saying. The fact that I asked, well, you know, there's that whole pagan thing that a lot of people talk about too, where I was concerned, but yeah.
Well, do know this. It's a high holy day in Satanism. And there are babies that are sacrificed on Halloween night.
That's
enough for me to say, oh, no, we don't celebrate Halloween. We celebrate All Saints Day.
I don't. I mean, I have black cats, and I won't let them out of the house. I don't let them out of that. I have a little backyard. I don't let them out because of what they do to animals on those days. And also Mischief Night, the night before Halloween, is also another very, very evil night. But the one thing, too, that I would just add to the discussion, a lot of those horror movies. I mean, Halloween, the one by Jamie Lee Curtis, was just a thriller, but there was no blood, gore. Yeah. Remember that? Yeah. I mean, that was just all suspense. Where was the guy going to show up next? But now we have things like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that excessive violence and stuff in there, that to me is not a good horror movie to be watching. Yeah, something that's very suspenseful. But you know what, Anne, where do you get movies like that anymore? They don't have them. They're all so dark, and everybody's getting killed, and they show you it, and it's just no, that's going overboard. But the movie Halloween, I think, is probably a classic, but I don't think you saw any blood in that. A couple of people got killed in it, but you didn't see blood. You just see this guy showing up, you know?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Thanks for your call today, Ann. I hope that all of that helps you to sort through it and see and to come up on the right side of the equation there. We appreciate your call.
Yeah,
and God and may
so
God
much.
Yeah, you're so welcome, and may God bless you, and may He heal your throat there. That'll be a good thing.
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna go to Rudy next. Rudy is in San Antonio, Texas. Good morning to you, Rudy. Hey, Rudy. Are you there? Okay, so I don't know where Rudy is. It doesn't seem like he's with us. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live today. We do have a caller that left a call for Sue that has to do with yoga. And Jeff, let's go to that call because I think we should talk about it.
My name is Huyen Linh. I call from Houston, Texas. My question for today is, it is acceptable or allowable for Catholics to practice in yoga, like body and mind, when they encounter the special energy source? Thank you.
So I think that she's asking, is yoga okay? And she's talking about the special energy force.
Yeah, well, that's definite no. That's a no. That's an easy one. That's a definite no. That the energy force, first of all, doesn't exist. And it's referred to in the New Age document, preliminary document, Jesus Christ the Bearer of the Word of Life, as the New Age God. So we don't want to have anything to do with that. And yoga in itself is not acceptable. Many of the poses are positions of worship to Hindu gods. There's also a lot of chanting and other Hindu rituals that are associated with classes. I know a lot of times they say, oh, it's just exercise. But you know what? They always have an Om chant in there. They do the Namaste bow. This is all Hinduism. This is what's going on in that class. And even though you don't intend to do it or to be, offending God by practicing something like that, what about the guy next to you? Maybe the guy next to you is worshiping the sun god. And if he calls the sun god, and we all know from the fathers of the church that demons hide behind those names because there is no such thing as the sun god, that's just made up. And the demon decides to come and you're not in a state of grace, he can attack you too. You're a sitting duck in there. So I always tell people, don't go to yoga. You don't need yoga. It's just an isometric exercise. There's like a ton of other things you can do besides yoga. It's just yoga is hip. It's trendy. But hey, what did Jesus tell us about the narrow way as opposed to the wide way, right? Why do we want to go down that path? We don't need to follow all those people over a cliff. Don't go. So what? One of these days it won't be trendy anymore. I've been saying that for 10 years, but it's going to happen one of these days.
Well, it will. It's going to fall out of favor. I mean, because these things are exactly that. They're trends. They captivate the imagination. There's a kind of elitism that comes out of these kinds of things too, where you feel as though you've attained or achieved a great thing here. And we also know that through the repetitious movements, let's face it, yoga is not exercise, but what does all kinds of practices that in some way, are physiologically challenging, what do they all do? They all release endorphins, right? So it makes you feel good, right? You can get a high from that kind of a thing. You heard of the runner's high. So my point is, you're not getting anything out of it that you're not going to get out of any other form of exercise. So what are you doing it for? And why do you want to put your body into the posture of Hindu gods anyway? I don't understand how you can do that and then think that in some way, you're not calling upon those occult powers when you're taking on a form that is supposed to mimic or imitate them. I mean, that doesn't even make logical sense to me in my mind, much less, religious sense. So we take a pretty hard stand about yoga here. The church hasn't spoken of yoga per se, but the church has spoken of the church has spoken about yoga in that it has defined the underlying heresies that are associated with it, right, Sue?
So absolutely.
If we know what those underlying heresies are and we see that popping up in any of these things, then we have to know right away that this is wrong. We can deduce that for ourselves.
Absolutely, we can. I think we have to be very, very careful. I always tell people, having been in the fitness field before, you don't need any kind of a fitness practice that's got that kind of spiritual baggage attached to it. You do not need that. Just go. You should be focusing on getting your body fit and leave the other stuff to your church to do, to Jesus Christ to do. Don't be dragging all that into that studio. Focus on that body, getting that body in shape, because we are a very out of shape nation. We all know that, and we need to do that. We need to do that. And for women, you know, my age, we need weightlifting, right? We need that kind of stuff, resistance type exercises to keep our bones healthy. We need a lot of things other than yoga, and people are just so fixated on it, Johnette, and you can't get them off of that. And they think this is all they have. And it's like, no, there's a lot of other stuff.
Well, and I got to tell you, I don't think that it's helpful either that so many doctors recommend it. You know, doctors recommend it. And so people say, but my doctor said this was going to help me. Well, you know, maybe you need to educate your doctor about what he's actually involving you in. You know, this is the other, you know, I always say, be a good purchaser of your health care, right? In other words, you know, when you go to the doctor, you should be interviewing him. You know, you should be asking your doctor what he believes in. If he says something that you have a question about, you ought to confront him and ask him. He might not know what you know. So there is a process here. You know, it's got to be a two-way street. So all of that being said, you know, I think that there's a whole lot of opportunities out there, as you say. So we don't even need yoga. We just, it's just this, you know, trendy little thing that's going on right now and has been for a while. Mm-hmm. All right. You know, and it comes from a belief system that is antithetical to the revealed truth of sacred scripture and the teachings of the church. So we are going to go to Lisa. Lisa is in Louisiana today. Good morning to you, Lisa.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. I have a question that this is kind of troubling me. I used to see a woman who would practice craniosacral therapy. She was way, way out there, and I've since, you know, have turned away from that practice. I was in way over my head, made a conversion, but I'm not so much concerned about myself as I am about my son. When he was first born, he had some health issues, and she wanted to help, and she offered to do some work on him. And I know it was all based on energies and New Age belief systems and stuff like that. And, you know, since then, I mean, he wasn't baptized at the time because he was a newborn, but he is baptized now. We've had our house blessed. We had our marriage convalidated, and we frequented the sacraments. But I just wonder, should I be concerned about my son who, you know, had that experience before he was baptized?
I wouldn't think that. I wouldn't think that he would have a problem. Baptism is just so powerful.
And it has an exorcism right in it.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay.
It's a good, but it'd be really a 3-month-old baby. Actually, that's on a record that of having, he died of fatal complications after a CST, practice it's bad. That stuff is bad. I don't know why it's still out there. There's absolutely no science behind it. It doesn't make any sense. It's a pseudoscience. And yet you've got so many doctors out there who are offering craniosacral therapy, and they're acting like this is a great thing. But you're lucky that you must have known a little bit about alternatives to be able to, because you said that she was kind of far out there on certain things. So it was good that you saw that, you know, right away, because that would have just turned me right off to her, no matter what she was doing. I won't even go to a chiropractor that's got this stuff on his or her list of practices. If that's if that's being done in there, I don't even go there. I just, you know, I want science. I don't want this gobbledygook that people make up and who don't have any real credentials. So you did the right thing, though, and especially with the baptism, I would not worry about it. I would not worry about it at all. Yeah, I think you're fine. I think he's fine.
Yes, and thank you, Lisa, for your call today. And I'm sorry we can't get to all of you. This is what generally happens, but I do want you to call us back. You can call us if you'd like to tomorrow. Sue will be back with us next Wednesday. So if your questions are specific for Sue, do call back next Wednesday. We invite you to get out to our website, newage.womenofgrace.com, and check out the blog. You can put your question in there or the topic that you want information about, and I'm sure it's going to pop up there for you. It's been great having you, Sue. Thanks so much for being with us.
Happy to be here.
Well, thank you. And we love all of you. Do join us again tomorrow. And don't forget, go out to womenofgrace.com. Check out Hollywood, Florida. It's coming up, not this weekend, but next. God bless you now. Bye-bye.